This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Chris Cody, Billy Gill, you're not going to believe what's happened. I don't think we've seen this spirit here in a couple of decades. Stugatz has proclaimed that the Dolphins are facing a litmus test game. A litmus test game. Yes. I don't think, when is the last time we had one of those? The Miami Dolphins, among the weakest of those 8-4 teams, the 8-3s, the 8-4s. This is no slight on the Miami Dolphins, but the best teams in the league that have won twice as much as they've lost. Billy just fell out of his chair.
It's a litmus test game.
Billy fell out of the Zoom. Was his mind just blown? His mind was just blown by Stugatz proclaiming it a litmus test game. Before I ask Stugatz if he knows what a litmus test is, his feet are in the air. We have lost Billy. His mind has been blown. One of the few mind-blown situations we've had during the pandemic. He used to hurt himself in the studio with his mind being blown. Why is it a litmus test game? What do you need to see? Do you know what a litmus test actually is?
It could also be a measuring stick game to see how far the Dolphins, how much they have grown from the start of the season.
Are those synonyms? Are those both synonyms?
What's a synonym? It depends what that means. So I don't know what it is. But here, the litmus test is interesting. I think we all know what it is. I don't think we actually know what it's for. I remember in school vaguely sticking a very thin, white, cardboardish piece of paper into some sort of liquid, and it would come back purple, blue, or stay white.
I think it's a test for acidity. I think it is using litmus in order to test the truth of something, to get a distilled measurement. In the context of sports, it's basically an event that is decisive enough to show what something is.
So the Dolphins are sitting at 8-4, and everyone's talking about the young core that they have and the great coach that they have and the potential young quarterback that they have, and they're set up for the now and they're set up for the future. And in strolls this weekend at the Dolphin Stadium, the Kansas City Chiefs. And so if you want to see just how far you've come as a football team, where you are as a football team, have you passed the litmus test? If you want to be considered a team that can make a run through the AFC and possibly find yourself playing for a Super Bowl, it starts this Sunday with how you play against the Kansas City
Chiefs. All
right,
so what
Chiefs.
Needs to be the result? And put it on the poll, Guillermo, when you get up from the floor.
Or a big game.
Understood that, well, that's another way of saying it, but a big game is not a synonym for litmus test or measuring stick game.
I would say the Dolphins, if they want to be taken seriously headed into the playoffs as a team that can make a deep run, they would have to beat the Chiefs at home this weekend.
Beat them.
Beat them, yes. Beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, because the Raiders had litmus test games against the Chiefs, and we still don't know if they're for real. So they had two of those. They won one of them, and what do we know about the Raiders? They just got slaughtered recently by the Falcons and then barely beat the Jets, who gave the game away in the last 15 seconds. And
right.
what is the result of those litmus test games?
The Raiders are not for real. They did not pass.
But they won one of those games against the litmus test team.
Right. They did it on the road, too. And at that point in the season, they had passed the litmus test, and the measuring stick was through the charts, okay? But then they have fallen back.
Why is it through the charts?
I
don't feel like
idea.
You know what you're talking about. I feel like your whole argument is unraveling.
Well, you threw that Raiders thing in there that really threw me off, because you're right. They did beat the Chiefs, and at the time it was a measuring
because
stick
I don't,
litmus
because
test
Because I don't
game.
Think football has litmus test games. I don't think there is such a thing. I think it's all random, and all of the teams are largely the same, and in the playoffs, anyone can win in a one-game sample.
Let me help you out, Stugatz. It was a false positive, Dan. That's what happened in that litmus
test. Oh, see, that's good.
Can you have a false positive on a litmus test? I'm not.
All right, put it on the poll.
I love you for coming up with that.
It's very good. Right. It's a very good pivot. You instead just got disoriented by the Raiders, and your argument fell apart.
Yeah,
and but
Jesus.
Billy did said sometimes there's a false positive, which I'll buy. I will buy that sometimes you get a false positive. But just put on the poll, Guillermo, please. Do you know what litmus actually is? Do any of you know? Because you throw that word around, Stugatz, and I don't feel like you have any idea what you're talking about.
I have no clue. To be honest with you, I do not know what it is. I have no clue.
That's,
That's what all the young kids these days call like a really fun Christmas. Litmus.
That's not bad.
I get it. A litmus.
The exact opposite of the Christmas that all of us are going to have during a pandemic. It's not going to be a litmus.
Isn't it a chemical compound that helps detect acid from bases?
That is correct.
Of course. Ooh, boring. Of course. I like mine better. Does anyone else say super fast because they're not sure how it's spelled?
Does anyone say what because they're not sure?
Litmus.
Litmus? The word litmus? Are you not sure how?
Is there an N? Is there a P? Is there a T? I don't know. I just say a quick litmus test.
I'm like, I have to be honest. I'm like 60-40. It's an M.
I think it's an M. I'm like 90-10. It's an M, which means it's probably not.
No, it is. It's an M.
Oh, it is?
Yes. You want to try and smell? You want to try and spell? I'm sorry, smell. I've got smell test on my mind.
Right.
Do you want to try and spell litmus? I don't think it's that hard. I think you will get it.
LIMPBIZTUS.
Exactly. I knew you'd get it. I just knew that you would get it immediately. Excellent. First guess. Yes. So what we have in play is indeed a litmus test game. So what happens? If they lose, then the Dolphins are not for real. If they win,
If they lose, we wait until next season, Dan. This season, they're getting better, but they're not for real.
I think it's an unfair litmus test. I think that entire team is an unfair litmus test. Like, the Chiefs are going to be playing for the title the next decade that Patrick Mahomes is healthy.
Right. I understand that. So, and I think everyone in the AFC understands that. If you want to see where you're at in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs and the next decade in the AFC, it starts this Sunday. Are you going to be a team that competes and pushes the Chiefs every season for the next 10 years? And I think of all the teams in the AFC, the team that has the best shot to do that because they're young, because they have this young, great head coach and a good GM, is the Miami Dolphins. It starts on Sunday.
Was the Giants-Seahawks game a litmus test game for anybody? Like, what other litmus test games have there been this season? If the Raiders got a false positive, who's gotten a litmus test game? Did the Titans? Did the Browns just have a litmus test game against the Titans?
Was that their who's who game, Dan.
Oh, that's totally different.
Yeah, it's a different game. The Giants game was a statement game for the Giants, doing that on the road without their big-time quarterback, Danny Dimes, doing it with Colt McCoy. That was a statement by the Giants saying, hey, we can get it done with Daniel. We can get it done with Colt. We don't care where we play, who we play.
5-7, get what done?
Get a W done. And they got a big W. That's what they did. It was ugly, but it was big.
So if the Dolphins beat the Chiefs Sunday, that won't be them making a statement?
No, that's the litmus. That's them passing the litmus test. We've already got over this. I mean,
we have. And yeah, it is also a measuring stick game through the roof game. It's a measuring stick through the roof game.
Yeah, the charts
or
could
off
go
the
through,
charts.
Yeah, the charts could go through the roof. We'll see. That's why I'm so intrigued by this Sunday's game. I mean, anything can happen.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. That is how we're ending the analysis of Dolphins Chiefs.
Here? Make or miss league, Dan. Game of inches. I mean,
okay. Well, which is it? Is it?
Those well, we'll are, see. We'll find out after Sunday.
Game of inches and make or miss league are totally different things. And make or miss league is not football either.
Well, I mean, depends on how you approach football. If he makes a field goal, you win a game. If he misses a field goal, you lose a game. It's a make or miss league. See ball, hit ball, Dano.
Oh, thank you. Now I understand it all.
Oh, good. Glad we're on the same page. Be a part of the Dan Le Batard Show Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. I think the Dolphins are going to win that game, by the way. How about that little prediction there? A little early prediction. I think the Dolphins are going to win it outright. How about that? That means they passed the litmus test, and the charts are through the roof. I mean, it's exciting down here. The college football season is heating up. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town. It's called Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice cold 20-ounce.
Hold on. I want to give the audience what Mike just whispered in my ear. Go ahead and give the audience the secret that you just told me in my ear.
Just farted out content. Like, what is that? What does any of this even mean? Whoa. And I was into it for like 10 minutes.
Stugatz will be on Cameo January 5th if you want your own...
I mean, really, if you listen back to it with any sort of discerning ear, it was just all gibberish.
That's right. Yeah. Just diarrhea.
I felt like you were making fun of me the entire time. If I was a sports radio listener.
I felt the same way as a sports radio host. I felt for 20 years that Stugatz is making fun of me with just spewing gibberish and cashing in on it.
I am.
Don Lebatard.
And finally, the shortest, most concise tongue twister is toy boat. Try saying that 5 times fast. Toy boat.
Oh, boy.
Toy boy. Toy boy. Toy boat. Yeah, toy boat.
He came closer than I did. Toy boy. Toy boy. Toy boy. Toy boy. Toy boy.
Stugatz.
Everybody, let's go around the room. Chris, what do you got? What do you got? Give us 5 straight toy boats. Say it as fast as you can.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
All right, so help me with something on how to credit a person on a report here, because I'm only hearing this in one place, and the site, 5 Reasons Sports, is credible. It's Miami Connected. And Greg Sylvander is reporting, I can report that Miami and Houston have had trade conversations surrounding James Harden. However, up to this point, the Heat have been unwilling to include Tyler Hero in any package for now. So I preface this by saying this is not something I have heard. I have not talked to anybody to know if this is so or not. But that is the report from Greg Sylvander. And Giannis, Brian Windhorst called him out on how he talked about the Supermax, where his answers, according to Windhorst, are not good when being asked about his future in Milwaukee. They're not commitment answers. It's, I'm not focusing on my contract, I'm focusing on myself. And Windhorst is wondering, what the hell does that mean? Because that's not a commitment of any sort. That, to my way of thinking, in Miami, James Harden would be, at best, plan B. That for years now, the Miami Heat have been trying to get into a position, and they did everything this offseason to cement that belief, that they're trying to get in the Giannis game, that is option number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Young superstar who has not yet won, and everything last season went exactly the way Miami needed it to go to persuade Giannis, where they beat him doing it their way without having a player as good as him, and they did so in a fashion that was decisive and stripped bare for all to see, because even when Kawhi was doing that in Toronto, he didn't do it that way to Giannis's team. Right. Just a dismantling. That could not have gone better for the Miami Heat.
No. But this appears to be a very tricky situation where it appears you have a chance to get James Harden right now. You'll have to include, in all likelihood, Tyler Hero, or you wait and hope that Giannis wants to come here.
What I have seen from the last week of James Harden coverage is that he's not quite in demand as he thinks he is, because the recent reports opened it up to other teams. The recent reports are they can't just get him to Brooklyn, and he'll make the mess, and we'll see what that mess ends up becoming. But James Harden might be a player without precedent for me, Stugatz, in terms of what his excellence is, and yet people wonder whether that fits with your team because of how much it demands the ball. Jimmy Butler has said that's the most unstoppable player in the league.
Right.
Charles Barkley has said that that's the best scorer the sport has ever seen, that he's better than Michael Jordan at scoring. Why wouldn't everyone be in the James Harden game?
Because they're holding out hope for Giannis. Maybe that's the only reason I could come up with.
But no, why wouldn't James Harden command superstars in return? Why wouldn't James? You're talking about a guy who isn't merely top of the league good in scoring. You're talking about a guy that Charles Barkley is telling you. Now, you can disagree with that, but Charles Barkley, who has told us the story. Mike, do we have this? Because I'd prefer to hear it in Charles Barkley's words than in my words, but the Charles Barkley has only one time in his playing career come home after a game and been, that dude is better than me. And it was when he scored something like 40-some-odd points in a finals game and Michael Jordan beat him anyway.
Sure.
He says it's the only time he's come home and been like, I am not as good as that person. I thought I was when I went to the arena tonight, but my best is not good enough against that person. He's telling you James Harden is better at scoring than Michael Jordan is. Why wouldn't every team in the league be lined up to try and figure out a way, how do we get this superstar, as everything seems to be falling apart in Houston in a way that's awful and mismanaged. Like, people are looking at that team and saying it's going to go from what it was, which was a game seven, making some threes away from beating Golden State in a historic upset with Chris Paul, to worst team in the league because they're just going to dismantle it all.
I think the reason, the obvious reason, is people question whether James Harden, great player, great scorer, Hall of Famer, can he be your best player? And if he is, can your team win an NBA championship? Because he has given you no proof that he can do it.
I know, but Michael Jordan, early in his career, we said the same things about him. Now, I'm not saying James Harden is Michael Jordan. I'm just saying that if Michael Jordan had been available as an unbelievable scorer, I think everybody would have lined up to get Michael Jordan at 31 years old. James Harden, he's not exactly in his prime, but he's in the prime of craftsmanship as an offensive player, where he is playing the game, the sport, differently than everyone else. No one is as good as the step back as he is. No one is as good at drawing fouls on three-pointers as he is. Jimmy Butler's telling you, most unstoppable player in our sport.
But there are certain guys through NBA history.
Mike doesn't want him.
There are certain guys through NBA history where you say, hey, if we get that guy, we're going to be a title contender or we're going to win a championship. Jordan, one of those guys. LeBron, one of those guys. There aren't Giannis feels like he's potentially one of those guys. Kevin Durant, one of those guys.
They make some threes on one game seven. They beat Durant's team, and they're winning that championship.
They probably are, but he didn't make those threes. And he didn't get there with Chris Paul. And he didn't come close with Russell Westbrook. And so you start asking yourself, if he's my best player, if he couldn't do it with those guys, can he do it with Jimmy Butler as his
number
two?
But we asked it about Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler was just in the finals. We asked that same question. Can he be your best player?
As a Heat fan, I want James Harden if the organization decides to move forward with that. And from that report, they're not considering Tyler Hero at the moment. Me personally, I don't know how he's going to fit within this culture, within the team dynamic, but Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, and that Heat front office have a much better idea.
You can't get James Harden without at the very least throwing Tyler Hero into that. Like, you're not going to be able to get James Harden
Bam,
and
right?
keep Bam, Tyler Hero, and Jimmy Butler. Like, you can't get that kind of talent without giving something that hurts.
He just expanded the teams that he's willing to go to. That's another reason why a lot of teams aren't in on this, because so far the list was only Brooklyn, Philadelphia. Sham says that he expanded the list to Milwaukee, which is interesting, and Miami.
You'd give up Tyler Hero tomorrow, right? I mean, you would. Yes. Most people would. I would, too.
I would, yes.
It's an 11-year difference.
If I know that there is no Giannis in my future. And right. It would hurt. Yes, there's an 11-year difference, but it's what I was telling you guys yesterday. Pat Riley's in his 70s, man. This is about, like, right now.
What? Am I beholden to the organization, or am I beholden to Pat Riley and his ticking clock? Like, I understand. I want Pat Riley to win a ring just as much as anybody, but I want the organization to be best positioned for the future. Pat Riley's ticking clock be damned.
The answer to that is you're beholden to Pat Riley. The reason that you become such a big Heat fan, Mike, the reason you love this organization so much is because he's been the guy in charge of it for
so long.
He
doesn't have to be beholden in opinion, but he's stuck with power. Pat Riley can do for Pat Riley now. Pat Riley's, you know, he's looking at mortality, basketball mortality, all of that stuff, and it would be real easy for someone in that position to be short-sighted. Lord knows we've seen enough of it from Jerry Jones.
He hasn't done it recently, though. Again, Russell Westbrook, this very thing presented itself this last offseason.
It's not the same thing, because this guy is better than Russell Westbrook.
Okay, well, Russell Westbrook had the awards, and look, James Harden, now at 31 years old. That's a question with him right now. I trust whatever the organization does. That's what this season bought Pat Riley back again. The stench of the Hassan Whiteside, Deion Waiters, James Johnson contract is out, and he is going now with a team that just made it to the Eastern Conference Finals despite all those injuries, with a 20-year-old as its go-to scorer down the stretch often.
Don Levitard.
Mami, yo me siento tuyo. Yo sé que tú te sientes mía.
Stugats.
Dile noviecito tuyo. Él es una porquería.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Frank Martin going to join us there in just a second. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
We will get to the shockingly bald Frank Martin in a moment, but first, the kazoos and Christine Lisi.
And finally, a cockroach can hold its breath for about 40 minutes.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Look out. Yep. Look out. Here it comes. Here it comes. Stugats. Look out. Duck.
I said it.
Did.
Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
Just drowned out by your own laughter.
Sorry, we trampled the joke. Roy, what were you laughing about? The shockingly bald Frank Martin?
When did that happen?
Yes, we will ask him in a second. But first, Tony and Billy want to talk to him about Cuban myths because we were having this conversation during the break. Tony, what do you want to submit as the greatest of the Cuban myths?
So growing up in a Cuban household, your grandma's always told you about these things that you didn't really know were true or not. Like my favorite one is don't take a shower during a lightning storm.
Yes,
like,
I don't know why. Yeah, grandmas, abuelitas are liars. Billy, do you have a favorite one?
Well, not so much a myth. I'm just wondering if Frank, the last time, now he's in South Carolina, I'm wondering the last time he had un empacho or un aire.
Frank?
Oh my God! I've only got one response for that. Coño!
I don't know if you're allowed to say that on the radio. I hope you are. We're in Miami. No rules apply. Go ahead, Billy.
Frank, empacho's no laughing matter, as you know. You need certain ways to treat the empacho. It's either the red string or sometimes you roll the egg on the stomach. There's things that need to be done, and I feel like you laughing at it is kind of diminishing the pain that it causes.
Oh, my God. No, you just got me laughing as I start thinking back of all the stuff that grandmas used to tell, you know, all of us as kids. I had a bad habit when I was a young kid. I used to chew on my fingernails. And she used to sit there anytime she'd catch me, she'd say, if I see you eating your fingernails again, I'm going to make sure that that fingernail tree starts growing out of your stomach. And I'd wake up in the mornings and look in the mirror and look in my mouth and see if there's a tree coming out of there.
That was a few months ago, right? You woke up?
The stuff they come up with.
Did it ever happen?
I think I'm full of so much acid that tree just burnt away.
What is going on with the absence of hair, Frank? It was shocking to all of us. What happened there?
Oh my God, Dan! We're getting older. You know, we're not in that 30 year old range anymore. So, you know, my hair had gotten a little lighter, but then after I went, I tested positive for COVID back in May and had knee replacement surgery and, I don't know, stress, I got attacked by alopecia. And I had all these bald spots on my head. And I told myself a long time ago, I'm not going to be one of these guys that holds on for dear life. I'm either in or I'm out. And I just got tired of trying to hide the spots. And I said, you know what, let's get it out of there. But here's the frustrating part. I can't get used to how I look with no hair on my head, but here's the worst part. Why does alopecia attack my head and my eyebrows? Why didn't it attack the hair on my ears and my nose? Those get bigger and fatter and stronger and blacker.
It is. It's a great life mystery. What stress do you speak of there, Frank? Just America in 2020? Coaching stress? Like, just what are you speaking of there?
More than anything, Dan, family. My mom's been shacked up in her house by herself in Miami since March. And it's really hard for me to get in there and see her just out of fear, you know, and she doesn't travel. And, you know, my sister lives in New York and, you know, her brother, my mom's got respiratory issues. Her brother, my uncle, he's had heart issues. So he's shacked up at his house. And, you know, that's been the biggest part of the stress, the basketball and all that. That's all part of it. Like our team, we're on pause right now because we had, you know, we had some guys test positive, and so we got locked up yesterday where we can't work. That's just, you know, that's not stressful to me. I prepared myself that that was coming because of the environment we're trying to play in. But it's more just me worried about family and then knee replacement. I don't know if you've gone through knee replacement. That's no fun. That was my 8th knee surgery. You know, for a body that didn't collect a single penny from sports, I've donated enough to science to improve knee surgeries over the course of my life.
Cuban sons tend to be well into adulthood, very, very close to their parents. You know, you've seen me. Part of our relationship is formed because you recognize on television me sitting next to my dad on television. Can you sort of explain to us? It must be unbelievably hard for you to not be able to go there and handle things for your family.
Yeah, it's really hard. And same thing with my wife's mom. You know, they're Jamaican, so it's kind of that island culture. Dan, you know how we do it, you know, or at least how our families used to do it. We kind of broke away from it, but you grow up in your house with your parents. You stay there till you're like 24. Then eventually you get married and you buy the house two houses down from your parents' house or your wife's parents' house. And you know, and that's kind of the way we do it. And same thing with my wife's family. You know, her mom, you know, she's had cancer, so she's been shacked up and we can't get to her in New York. And so it's been really frustrating. Well, my mom, you know, she's single. She's not married. So she's all alone. And you know, I was going to bring her up here to spend some time. And 2 days before I brought her up here is when I tested positive. So just all those crazy thoughts, man. But that's the biggest concern, you know, and that bond between, you know, mom and son, it's unbreakable. And, you know, and family is so important to me, because I was raised in that Cuban household, like you just mentioned. So it's been difficult.
How did the baldness go over with your wife? You've told us before she runs your household, that only in basketball and sports are you allowed to be in charge. Everywhere else, you are not in charge. How did the baldness go over at home?
She likes it. I mean, she likes, she'd rather me have hair. But, you know, she wasn't down with that look I had with all the bald spots and all that stuff. So she, you know, she said, you might as well just do it. And I said, you know what? I've always said I would. And so away we go. Now, I'll say this. I've been told, because I went to see a doctor about it, and I've been told that a couple years later, the alopecia goes away and it grows back. If it grows back, you know, then we'll go back to having hair everywhere except at the very top of my head where I had the 54-year-old bald spot, which that one got no hope.
You had a beautiful head of hair, though, Frank. We'll miss it. Best thing about being bald, have you found any positives in being bald? Because I have. I shaved my head entirely once I was bald. The quick showers were delightful. Got through them very quickly.
Oh, Stu, you're not kidding, brother. I mean, I am in and out now. It is like, it is unbelievable. And here's the bad part. I keep opening up the drawer when I'm looking in the mirror to comb my hair.
You shocked yourself in the mirror.
I'm trying to get the coke. Oh, my God.
You're shocked when you look in the mirror still, correct?
Every morning.
It's disorienting. It's confusing to you still.
Oh my God! I take the towel and I think I'd still got to dry my hair and I just rub it over my head and dry it up and away we go. So it makes showering and the whole get ready fiasco a heck of a lot easier and quicker.
Frank, good talking to you. Pay the teachers. Thank you for being on with us.
Yeah.
Give Poppy a big hug, brother.
I will. Not too close. From a distance. Thank you, sir.
Don Libertard.
Stugatz, as far as I can tell, was given ears for no good reason.
Stugatz.
Unraveling.
Uh-huh. That's what he does. He unravels. Well, he leads the league. If unraveling was a stat, Dan, no, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
This is the Don Libertard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Libertard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Lil Nate at MT Stewart 4 points this out as Dan interviewed Frank Martin. The Grief Eater has appeared.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
So here's where we are in journalism and sports journalism, and I found myself during the break being made profoundly sad by the questions I was asking Mike Ryan. I'm a credentialed journalist. I have studied the art of journalism, and dying though it may be,
I found those questions to be delightful. I mean,
well, I'm not talking about Frank Martin.
No, no,
I'm
talking about,
I'm talking about the other conversation we were having in here where I can't believe this is where I am as a journalist, that I'm asking Mike Ryan these questions, and this is where we are in sports. I'm asking Mike, hey, do we have it confirmed that Jimmy Butler liked that Instagram thing? And it's confusing because it would appear that Jimmy Butler has liked an Instagram report that James Harden has expanded his list of cities to include Miami. But I don't know if it's real or not. I have not confirmed that Jimmy Butler did indeed like that Instagram post. And just, man, Bob Lee retired, and this is what we're left with.
So everyone keeps telling me it's still liked, but I check my Instagram, and I search the likers, and I can't find Jimmy Butler. So what does Mike do? Text someone younger than him. Younger person says it shows up for him, so clearly I'm doing something wrong. So I feel 90% sure in saying it's still up there. He for sure liked it, but I think the like stands.
What does this all mean?
Well, this is the thing. I love it. I love it. What do you think he means by that?
I mean, in the past, Houston was on Jimmy Butler's list when he was trying to make his way to a new team. He said flattering things about James Harden in the past, so I think he likes James Harden as a player.
Would you do Jimmy Butler for James Harden?
Well, that's not what's happening.
No, man. I'm just wondering. Well, when you piece together that Tyler Hero has not been mentioned, I'm just wondering.
That's a different question than Hero, because Tyler Hero has the upside. Jimmy Butler, we can argue. I don't foresee Jimmy Butler getting better.
Okay, but why did
God, I don't know why he took it there.
I mean,
he's
your ability to, like, honest to God, your ability.
You never
to,
know, guys. I mean,
your ability.
I feel pretty certain that Jimmy Butler's place on the team is safe.
Okay.
My guess would be that he wouldn't be liking that Instagram post if he thought it was going to be Jimmy Butler for James Harden, Stugatz.
Yeah, but then he unliked it. Yeah. Now they're, yeah,
he
exactly.
didn't unlike
Chris
it. You didn't,
about
you didn't
it,
hear
right.
anything that attention. Mike
yeah,
said.
He went to a younger person. That person confirmed that he liked it, but you're confused as to whether he liked it or not. Tyler Hero's name has never been mentioned, and all of this adds up to my question of Jimmy Butler for James Harden. You'll see.
January 5th on Cameo. You can get thoughts like that from Stugatz, who isn't spread or diluted so thin that he can make cogent points that aren't gibberish on national radio when discussing things. Like, I'm talking about the death of journalism, and you're like, what do you think about the hypothetical Jimmy Butler for James Harden? Would you do that? And make the most common sports radio possible, please, Dan.